KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint, K201DA King Cove, KFPS False Pass.
listening to Alaska Public Media on KSKA Anchorage FM 91.1. We're currently experiencing some technical difficulties. At 5, we were expecting to have NPR special coverage of President Trump's address to a joint session of Congress. We're having trouble receiving audio from NPR. We are going to try to rectify that as soon as possible. Stay tuned. You can also check out the speech on Alaska Public Media Television. You're listening to Alaska Public Media on KSKA Anchorage FM 91.1. Good evening. I'm Tobin Shelby. We're still experiencing some technical difficulties receiving NPR's special coverage feed of President Trump's address to a joint session of Congress. As we work to resolve that issue, we're going to be taking BBC America's feed from the World Service of President Trump's speech. Once NPR's issue is resolved, we'll transition to that feed. Thank you for your patience. You're listening to Alaska Public Media.
For the U.S. president to arrive in Congress, still no sign of him. I'm looking at the pictures from the U.S. Capitol. Let's take a deeper look at the issue of Ukraine. Obviously, big story earlier. President Zelensky was trying to reach out, saying he's ready to sign this minerals deal and come to peace talks. And after that row in the Oval Office, he was praising Donald Trump for his strong leadership, expressing gratitude to the president and the American people for their support throughout the war. Of course, he was criticized by J.D. Vance for not saying thank you. But President Zelensky emphasized the message during his nightly address to the Ukrainian nation. And we can hear a bit of that now.
Ukraine will always be grateful to America for all the support that has been provided and continues to be provided. Support that is now essential to preserving Europe's already fragile security foundations. This is not just about our country. It's about all of Europe. We seek constructive cooperation, true partnership.
And he also expressed regret for the way that the Oval Office meeting had gone.
What happened at the White House instead of our negotiations is regrettable. But we must find the strength to move forward, to respect each other, just as we have always respected America, Europe, and all our partners. And together, we must do everything to bring peace closer.
Okay, let's just have a return. Yes, here comes Donald Trump walking into the chamber in Congress on Capitol Hill. Just arrived, people cheering. He's raising his fist, shaking hands. I imagine, Merlin, it'll take some time for him to get through and get to the podium.
Yes, so we're seeing President Donald Trump walking into the Congress and shaking hands with lawmakers. And this is really him coming to center stage, really, with his team on his side. He's looking to get a grand reception. And he knows this is all about theatrics. And this is something that he plays well at. And, you know, this is something the White House actually said themselves. They said this is must-see television. So they know that this is something that Americans will be tuning into and hoping to hear President Trump kind of give that winning rhetoric that he is so keen to emphasize. And so they will be tuning in to hear from him. And he's still walking in, and we can see that everyone is still up on their feet, clapping and cheering him on. And they're really continuing. And we're still seeing as well some colors of what appears to be Democrats wearing pink. Now, this is something that we've been told is a sign that they will be wearing in protest, mainly for a very simple reason, that it's a sign of that will stand out in the sea of lawmakers, but also something that has become a color that has come to represent the Women's March, a color of protest. And we can see that just in the background as the cameras focused on President Trump as he walks in, just in the background. So it's a hint of, you know, what is to come. He will be center stage talking about his plans and how he's going to revive the American dream. But also, this is a moment to see how the Democrats will respond, if there will be any opposition, and what that opposition might look like.
Interesting to see someone with a MAGA, red MAGA hat. I'm not sure you'd see that in other parliaments, someone wearing a baseball hat. You also saw Melania, the First Lady, applauding. I'd say politely rather than enthusiastically. And as you were saying earlier, it's quite important to see who is sat with her as a sign that they're going to be possibly the issues they're involved in will be showcased by the president during his speech.
Yeah, and the sign that Elon Musk will be sat in that box, showing that he is at the heart, really, of this administration, that he's playing a very pivotal role, also emphasizes that President Trump is likely to talk about reforming and reshaping the federal government at the kind of speed and bluntness with which the DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, has done so.
Sorry to interrupt. I just want to say he's currently speaking to the Supreme Court justices, which obviously is a very important part of the U.S. power base.
Yes, and the Supreme Court will be something that President Trump is likely to address as well. You know, there are three branches of power here in the US, and so far we haven't seen that much opposition from Congress in terms of Democrats talking about what they will do to stop any of the plans that President Trump has so far said he'll do. But one thing that we have seen is legal courts, kind of legal pushback and legal challenges to some of the actions and executive orders that President Trump has been making. And so the Supreme Court will play a pivotal role in President Trump's administration.
And is it chance of USA, I think I'm hearing there? In fact, just to say that the person wearing the MAGA hat was Marjorie Taylor Greene, perhaps no surprise there. But yes, we are now seeing the president ascend to the podium. I imagine he'll take in a bit more applause before he starts his speech. He's greeting the vice president, shaking hands with J.D. Vance, also Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and I think Donald Trump is about to start speaking. The applause will continue for some time. He's handing over copies of the speech to his deputy and the House Speaker behind him, smiling broadly. There's a picture of Melania clapping, smiling as well. He's pointing out. I think he might have even pointed to her just then, opening his jacket. And I imagine he's going to speak any moment now. So we'll cross over to Washington and hope that he starts soon.
If you're just joining us, I'm Ari Shapiro, and this is live special coverage from NPR News. You can see him thanking his supporters, kind of soaking in the adulation before he begins this address. I should mention that while the Republicans are standing and applauding, and the Democrats are seated with their hands in their laps, the Supreme Court justices are standing but not applauding.
Speaker Johnson, Vice President Vance, the First Lady of the United States, members of the United States Congress, thank you very much. And to my fellow citizens, America is back. Six weeks ago, I stood beneath the dome of this Capitol and proclaimed the dawn of the golden age of America. From that moment on, it has been nothing but swift and unrelenting action to usher in the greatest and most successful era in the history of our country. We have accomplished more in 43 days than most administrations accomplished in 4 years or 8 years, and we are just getting started. Thank you. I return to this chamber tonight to report that America's momentum is back, our spirit is back, our pride is back, our confidence is back, and the American dream is surging bigger and better than ever before. The American dream is unstoppable, and our country is on the verge of a comeback the likes of which the world has never witnessed and perhaps will never witness again. There's never been anything like it. The presidential election of November 5th was a mandate like has not been seen in many decades. We won all seven swing states, giving us an electoral college victory of 312 votes. We won the popular vote by big numbers and won counties in our country.
USA! 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 USA!
and one counties in our country, 2,700 to 525, on a map that reads almost completely red for Republican. Now, for the first time in modern history, more Americans believe that our country is headed in the right direction than the wrong direction. In fact, it's an astonishing record, 27-point swing, the most ever. Likewise, small business optimism saw its single largest one-month gain ever recorded.
Mr. President.
A 41-point jump.
Members are directed to uphold and maintain decorum in the House and to cease any further disruptions. That's your warning.
President's speech. Some members of Congress have interrupted the President's speech. And
members are engaging in willful and continuing breach of decorum, and the chair is prepared to direct the Sergeant-at-Arms to restore order to the joint session.
Looks like Democratic Congressman Al Green was disrupting, shouting, "You don't have a mandate." And then House Speaker Mike Johnson was trying to restore order to the room. President Trump has paused his remarks.
Mr. Green, take your seat. Take your seat, sir. Take your seat. Finding that members continue to engage in willful and concerted disruption of proper decorum, the chair now directs the Sergeant-at-Arms to restore order. Remove this gentleman from the chamber.
This is something I don't believe we have seen in a joint address to Congress before, the Sergeant-at-Arms removing a member of Congress who interrupted the speech. Congressman Al Green waving his cane as he now moves towards the aisle and prepares to leave the room. Speeches like this have been interrupted before, but I don't recall such an extensive disruption and a member being asked to leave. Deirdre Walsh is there watching this unfold. Deirdre, can you just describe what's happening as we wait for the president to resume?
Well, Texas Democrat Al Green is being escorted out
members
of the chamber after he stood and disrupted President Trump's speech and argued he did not have a mandate.
Thank you.
All right, President Trump is resuming. Let's
listen. Over the past 6 weeks, I have signed nearly 100 executive orders and taken more than 400 executive actions, a record, to restore common sense, safety, optimism, and wealth all across our wonderful land. The people elected me to do the job, and I'm doing it. In fact, it has been stated by many that the first month of our presidency, it's our presidency, is the most successful in the history of our nation. By many. And what makes it even more impressive is that, do you know who number two is? George Washington. How about that? How about that? I don't know about that list, but we'll take it. Within hours of taking the oath of office, I declared a national emergency on our southern border, and I deployed the U.S. military and Border Patrol to repel the invasion of our country. And what a job they've done. As a result, illegal border crossings last month were by far the lowest ever recorded, ever. They heard my words and they chose not to come. Much easier that way. In comparison, under Joe Biden, the worst president in American history. There were hundreds of thousands of illegal crossings a month, and virtually all of them, including murderers, drug dealers, gang members, and people from mental institutions and insane asylums, were released into our country. Who would want to do that? This is my fifth such speech to Congress. And once again, I look at the Democrats in front of me, and I realize there is absolutely nothing I can say to make them happy or to make them stand or smile or applaud. Nothing I can do. I could find a cure to the most devastating disease, a disease that would wipe out entire nations, or announce the answers to the greatest economy in history, or the stoppage of crime to the lowest levels ever recorded. And these people sitting right here will not clap, will not stand, and certainly will not cheer for these astronomical achievements. They won't do it, no matter what. Five times I've been up here. It's very sad, and it just shouldn't be this way. So Democrats sitting before me, for just this one night, why not join us in celebrating so many incredible wins for America? For the good of our nation, let's work together and let's truly make America great again. Every day, my administration is fighting to deliver the change America needs to bring a future that America deserves. And we're doing it. This is a time for big dreams and bold action. Upon taking office, I imposed an immediate freeze on all federal hiring, a freeze on all new federal regulations, and a freeze on all foreign aid. I terminated the ridiculous Green New Scam. I withdrew from the unfair Paris Climate Accord, which was costing us trillions of dollars that other countries were not paying. I withdrew from the corrupt World Health Organization. And I also withdrew from the anti-American UN Human Rights Council. We ended all of Biden's environmental restrictions that were making our country far less safe and totally unaffordable. And importantly, we ended the last administration's insane electric vehicle mandate, saving our auto workers and companies from economic destruction. To unshackle our economy, I have directed that for every one new regulation, 10 old regulations must be eliminated, just like I did in my very successful first term. And in that first term, we set records on ending unnecessary rules and regulations like no other president had done before. We ordered all federal workers to return to the office. They will either show up for work in person or be removed from their job. And we have ended weaponized government where, as an example, a sitting president is allowed to viciously prosecute his political opponent, like me. How did that work out? Not too good. Not too good. And I have stopped all government censorship and brought back free speech in America. It's back. And 2 days ago, I signed an order making English the official language of the United States of America. I renamed the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. And likewise, I renamed, for a great president, William McKinley, Mount McKinley again. Beautiful Alaska. We love Alaska. We've ended the tyranny of so-called diversity, equity, and inclusion policies all across the entire federal government and indeed the private sector and our military. And our country will be woke no longer. We believe that whether you are a doctor, an accountant, a lawyer, or an air traffic controller, you should be hired and promoted based on skill and competence, not race or gender. Very important. You should be hired based on merit. And the Supreme Court, in a brave and very powerful decision, has allowed us to do so. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. We have removed the poison of critical race theory from our public schools, and I signed an order making it the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female. I also signed an executive order to ban men from playing in women's sports. Three years ago, Peyton McNabb was an all-star high school athlete, one of the best, preparing for a future in college sports. But when her girls' volleyball match was invaded by a male, he smashed the ball so hard in Peyton's face, causing traumatic brain injury, partially paralyzing her right side, and ending her athletic career. It was a shot like she's never seen before. She's never seen anything like it. Peyton is here tonight in the gallery, and Peyton, from now on, schools will kick the men off the girls' team, or they will lose all federal funding. And if you really want to see numbers, just take a look at what happened in the women's boxing, weightlifting, track and field, swimming, or cycling, where a male recently finished a long-distance race 5 hours and 14 minutes ahead of a woman for a new record by 5 hours. Broke the record by 5 hours. It's demeaning for women, and it's very bad for our country. We're not going to put up with it any longer. What I have just described is only a small fraction of the common sense revolution that is now, because of us, sweeping the entire world. Common sense has become a common theme, and we will never go back. Never, ever going to let that happen. Among my very highest priorities is to rescue our economy and get dramatic and immediate relief to working families. As you know, we inherited from the last administration an economic catastrophe and an inflation nightmare. Their policies drove up energy prices, pushed up grocery costs, and drove the necessities of life out of reach for millions and millions of Americans. They've never had anything like it. We suffered the worst inflation in 48 years, but perhaps even in the history of our country, they're not sure. As president, I'm fighting every day to reverse this damage and make America affordable again. Joe Biden especially let the price of eggs get out of control. The egg price is out of control, and we're working hard to get it back down. Secretary, do a good job on that. You inherited a total mess from the previous administration. Do a good job. A major focus of our fight to defeat inflation is rapidly reducing the cost of energy. The previous administration cut the number of new oil and gas leases by 95%, slowed pipeline construction to a halt, and closed more than 100 power plants. We are opening up many of those power plants right now.
Some Democratic lawmakers have walked out of the room. Others are holding up black placards that say false in response to some of President Trump's remarks.
And frankly, we have never seen anything like it. That's why on my first day in office, I declared a national energy emergency. As you've heard me say many times, we have more liquid gold under our feet than any nation on earth, and by far. And now I fully authorize the most talented team ever assembled to go and get it. It's called Drill, Baby, Drill. My administration is also working on a gigantic natural gas pipeline in Alaska, among the largest in the world, where Japan, South Korea, and other nations want to be our partner with investments of trillions of dollars each. There's never been anything like that one. It will be truly spectacular. It's all set to go. The permitting is gotten. And later this week, I will also take historic action to dramatically expand production of critical minerals and rare earths here in the USA. To further combat inflation, we will not only be reducing the cost of energy, but we'll be ending the flagrant waste of taxpayer dollars. Yeah. And to that end, I have created the brand new Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. Perhaps you've heard of it. Perhaps. Which is headed by Elon Musk, who is in the gallery tonight. Thank you, Elon. He's working very hard. He didn't need this. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Everybody here, even this side, appreciates it, I believe. They just don't want to admit that. Just listen to some of the appalling waste we have already identified. $22 billion from HHS to provide free housing and cars for illegal aliens. $45 million for diversity, equity, and inclusion scholarships in Burma. $40 million to improve the social and economic inclusion of sedentary migrants. Nobody knows what that is. $8 million to promote LGBTQI+ in the African nation of Lesotho, which nobody has ever heard of. $60 million for indigenous peoples and Afro-Colombian empowerment in Central America. $60 million. $8 million for making mice transgender. This is real. $32 million for a left-wing propaganda operation in Moldova. $10 million for male circumcision in Mozambique. $20 million for the Arab Sesame Street in the Middle East. It's a program. $20 million for a program. $1.9 billion to recently created Decarbonization of Homes Committee, headed up, and we know she's involved. Just at the last moment, the money was passed over by a woman named Stacey Abrams. Have you ever heard of her? A $3.5 million consulting contract for lavish fish monitoring. $1.5 million for voter confidence in Liberia. $14 million for social cohesion in Mali. $59 million for illegal alien hotel rooms in New York City. He's a real estate developer. He's done very well. $250,000 to increase vegan local climate action innovation in Zambia. $42 million for social and behavior change in Uganda. $14 million for improving public procurement in Serbia. $47 million for improving learning outcomes in Asia. Asia's doing very well with learning. I don't know what we're doing. Should use it ourselves. And $101 million for DEI contracts at the Department of Education, the most ever paid, nothing even like it. Under the Trump administration, all of these scams, and they're far worse, but I didn't think it was appropriate to talk about them. They're so bad. Many more have been found out and exposed and swiftly terminated by a group of very intelligent, mostly young people, headed up by Elon, and we appreciate it. We found hundreds of billions of dollars of fraud. And we've taken back the money and reduced our debt to fight inflation and other things. Taking back a lot of that money. We got it just in time. This is just the beginning. The Government Accountability Office, a federal government office, has estimated annual fraud of over $500 billion in our nation, and we are working very hard to stop it. We're going to. We're also identifying shocking levels of incompetence and probable fraud in the Social Security program for our seniors, and that our seniors and people that we love rely on. Believe it or not, government databases list 4.7 million Social Security members from people aged 100 to 109 years old. It lists 3.6 million people from ages 110 to 119. I don't know any of them. I know some people that are rather elderly, but not quite that elderly. 3.47 million people from ages 120 to 129. 3.9 million people from ages 130 to 139. 3.5 million people from ages 140 to 149. And money is being paid to many of them. And we're searching right now. In fact, Pam, good luck. Good luck. You're going to find it. But a lot of money is paid out to people because it just keeps getting paid and paid and nobody does. And it really hurts Social Security and hurts our country. 1.3 million people from ages 150 to 159 and over 130,000 people, according to the Social Security databases, are age over 160 years old. We have a healthier country than I thought, Bobby. Including, to finish, 1,039 people between the ages of 220 and 229, one person between the age of 240 and 249, and one person is listed at 360 years of age, more than 100 years, more than 100 years older than our country. But we're going to find out where that money's going. And it's not going to be pretty. By slashing all of the fraud, waste, and theft we can find, we will defeat it. And in the near future, I want to do what has not been done in 24 years. Balance the federal budget. We're going to balance it. And today, interest rates took a beautiful drop, big, beautiful drop. It's about time. And in the near future, I want to do what has not been done in 24 years. Balance the federal budget. We're going to balance it. With that goal in mind, we have developed in great detail what we are calling the Gold Card, which goes on sale very, very soon. For $5 million, we will allow the most successful job-creating people from all over the world to buy a path to U.S. citizenship. It's like the Green Card, but better and more sophisticated. And these people will have to pay tax in our country. They won't have to pay tax from where they came. The money that they've made, you wouldn't want to do that, but they have to pay tax, create jobs. They'll also be taking people out of colleges and paying for them so that we can keep them in our country instead of having them being forced out. Number one, at the top school, as an example, being forced out and not being allowed to stay and create tremendous numbers of jobs and great success for a company out there. So while we take out the criminals, killers, traffickers, and child predators who are allowed to enter our country under the open border policy of these people, the Democrats, the Biden administration, the open border insane policies that you've allowed to destroy our country, we will now bring in brilliant, hardworking, job-creating people. They're going to pay a lot of money, and we're going to reduce our debt with that money. Americans have given us a mandate for bold and profound change. For nearly 100 years, the federal bureaucracy has grown until it has crushed our freedoms, ballooned our deficits, and held back America's potential in every possible way. The nation founded by pioneers and risk takers now drowns under millions and millions of pages of regulations and debt. Approvals that should take 10 days to get instead take 10 years, 15 years, and even 20 years before you're rejected. Meanwhile, we have hundreds of thousands of federal workers who have not been showing up to work. My administration will reclaim power from this unaccountable bureaucracy, and we will restore true democracy to America again. And any federal bureaucrat who resists this change will be removed from office immediately. Because we are draining the swamp. It's very simple. And the days of rule by unelected bureaucrats are over. And the next phase of our plan to deliver the greatest economy in history is for this Congress to pass tax cuts for everybody. They're in there. They're waiting for you to vote. And I'm sure that the people on my right, I don't mean the Republican right, but my right here, I'm sure you're going to vote for those tax cuts, because otherwise I don't believe the people will ever vote you into office. So I'm doing you a big favor by telling you that. But I know this group is going to be voting for the tax. Thank you. It's a very, very big part of our plan. We had tremendous success in our first term with it, a very big part of our plan. We're seeking permanent income tax cuts all across the board, and to get urgently needed relief to Americans hit especially hard by inflation. I'm calling for no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, and no tax on Social Security benefits for our great seniors. And I also want to make interest payments on car loans tax deductible, but only if the car is made in America. And by the way, we're going to have growth in the auto industry like nobody's ever seen. Plants are opening up all over the place. Deals are being made. Never seen. That's a combination of the election win and tariffs. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? That, along with our other policies, will allow our auto industry to absolutely boom. It's going to boom. Spoke to the majors today, all three, the top people, and they're so excited. In fact, already numerous car companies have announced that they will be building massive automobile plants in America, with Honda just announcing a new plant in Indiana, one of the largest anywhere in the world. And this has taken place since our great victory on November 5th, a date which will hopefully go down as one of the most important in the history of our country. In addition, as part of our tax cuts, we want to cut taxes on domestic production and all manufacturing. And just as we did before, we will provide 100% expensing. It will be retroactive to January 20th, 2025. And it was one of the main reasons why our tax cuts were so successful in our first term, giving us the most successful economy in the history of our country. First term. We had a great first term. If you don't make your product in America, however, under the Trump administration, you will pay a tariff, and in some cases, a rather large one. Other countries have used tariffs against us for decades, and now it's our turn to start using them against those other countries. On average, the European Union, China, Brazil, India, Mexico and Canada, have you heard of them? And countless other nations charge us tremendously higher tariffs than we charge them. It's very unfair. India charges us auto tariffs higher than 100%. China's average tariff on our products is twice what we charge them. And South Korea's average tariff is four times higher. Think of that, four times higher. And we give so much help militarily and in so many other ways to South Korea, but that's what happens. This is happening by friend and foe. This system is not fair to the United States and never was. And so on April 2nd, I wanted to make it April 1st, but I didn't want to be accused of April Fool's Day. Just one day cost us a lot of money. But we're going to do it in April. I'm a very superstitious person. April 2nd, reciprocal tariffs kick in. And whatever they tariff us, other countries, we will tariff them. That's reciprocal, back and forth. Whatever they tax us, we will tax them. If they do non-monetary tariffs to keep us out of their market, then we will do non-monetary barriers to keep them out of our market. There's a lot of that, too. They don't even allow us in their market. We will take in trillions and trillions of dollars and create jobs like we have never seen before. I did it with China, and I did it with others, and the Biden administration couldn't do anything about it because there was so much money, they couldn't do anything about it. We have been ripped off for decades.